Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Hey, Bob Moyo, how are you?
How are you doing?
Ngiyaphila, how are you doing?
No, doing okay. Can you hear me just fine?
Yes, now I can hear you. Now I can hear you. You were not clear a little earlier. So thank you. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Okay.
Yeah, always appreciate having you on the line. You know, we want to talk about a question, really. Will evil ever threaten heaven again? As a voice of prophecy, listen. And so we all know that there was once a perfect creation, but something happened in that perfection, a rebellion that created chaos that we are still experiencing thousands of years later. And so it would be reasonable, to wonder if we can even trust that perfection of heaven to never create another rebellion again. We want to know if we can really be sure that that evil will threaten heaven again, or the new earth again. You know, my brother, and I don't think it's an unfair question, this one, because God created a perfect heaven, and boom, a war broke out, a place of no sin. Yeah, and a place of no sin. I mean, a place of a perfect creation. And so we are going to the new heaven or the new earth, and all things will be made new there. I mean, what are the guarantees? I'm a little worried, eh?
I know. No, actually, it's a very good question. It's a very fair question, because when we look at the truth of the Bible, yes, war broke out in heaven. There was the perfect garden right here in Eden, and then that also fell into chaos because of sin. So we know that the problem is sin. And so not whether God can create something perfect. No, that's not the question.
Mm-hmm.
He does. But the question is, okay, the real problem is sin. And then we have to ask the question, okay, and you have all rights to be worried about it. But as much as we have the right to worry about it, remember our foundation is found in the Word of God, and God has no need to lie. Mm. So if we can find a place in the Bible where it gives us proof and gives us evidence to say that indeed there will be no war again, or there won't be sin anymore, then we have God's Word. And you know how God is with His Word. He doesn't change it. And he has no need to lie to us. So we can trust it. So let's go to Revelation chapter 21. That's the last book of the Bible. And as I'm talking about the last book of the Bible, Revelation, chapter 21 and verse 27. If you don't mind, let's read that, actually. It actually says, "There shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." So we know that sin is not something that just appears out of nowhere. It is people who sin, or beings who sin or go against the Word of God. So at the end of the day, where it says that nothing will enter in that defiles, or actually that is of sin, then we have that assurance. Let's not just base it on one verse either. Let's go to if we were to go to the book of Jude as well. It says that sin will not rise up a second time.
Mm.
And the book of Jude is also close to the end of the Bible. It's a small book, one chapter only. Mm. So even if you go through it, you'd find that verse there again. It says that sin will not rise up a second time. So we have that assurance. Now, if I can ask a question, dear brother.
Yeah.
You know how when we actually look at the idea of heaven, I want to ask you, what do you look forward to the most? I ask this for a reason, but please just indulge me.
Well,
what
you
do
know,
you
I personally, I'll tell you now, I look forward to the absence of sin.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking forward
and,
to.
And actually, I completely agree with you. I mean, and this is why probably it scares us to say that, okay, if we're going to have eternity, imagine an eternity with sin. That would be horrible. But then what God promises is a sinless new heaven and a new earth. where sin does not, what does not corrupt, where sin does not come in to take away, or death does not come away to take away our loved ones, or even sin, even come in to accuse and to shame. But rather, it's a world where indeed the inhabitants don't fall sick, where there are no need for hospitals. The healing of the nations will be, is what will be taking place. And the fullness of God's presence is what we would be around all the time. Now, what we really see is that the whole point of salvation and the plan of salvation is not just to get, not just to cleanse us of sin right now, but the whole plan, as in why has it taken so long, is because this is about eliminating sin throughout the universe. And it's about when all of this, when all is said and done, that it will be seen that and evidenced that God is just and that his way is actually the best way, and that sin only brings destruction and folly and death. So it's not that this whole the all this pain and all this suffering that has happened has been for nothing. No, it is to show that indeed God's way is the best and that sin is not the way. So imagine, I mean, after going through all that we've gone through over here, if by God's grace, and when by God's grace we make it to heaven, the idea of saying, well, let's go back to sin. After everything that we have gone through and everything that happens in
No,
the millennium and
there's
when
no way
all the
we're going to
books
back
are
to sin.
open, you understand what I
No
mean? Where
ways.
at that point, it's sin and sinners would be done away with. And at that point, would we really go back to saying, you know what, I think let's go back to, and remember that everyone who has remained is those, everyone who has chosen to love Christ in return and love God in return. Now, is that to say then that that all of that I understand all of it and that I know exactly what heaven will be like? To be honest, I think it just it's beyond what we can even comprehend, because we only know a world with sin, but a world without sin is what we are promised. But the same way that we were promised that we would be born again, and everyone else would probably think, no, there's no way someone can be born again. But you've seen the new life that you've lived with Christ. It, and when God promises that there will be a new life for eternity, we can take him at his word. And it is a beautiful thing that indeed he promises. So eradication of sin, especially when you go to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 53, you actually see that it's a promise God makes to say, it's not about just getting, it's not just about getting rid of pain or suffering, but about getting rid of sin and all its consequences.
Now, I'm wondering, in light of what you've just said, that when we get to heaven, are we still going to have the power of choice? Because that's a risk
So let
right
me,
there.
it is a risk right there, isn't it?
That's a
And
real risk there, because
I remember this has actually troubled my mind so much when you asked that question. It is a very good question, and it is one that troubled my mind at a certain point so much. But I can answer that with, and I'm not just trying to be, I'm not trying to be political or anything, but allow me to answer it with a question. Will we still have the ability to love when we are in heaven?
We should.
We should, and indeed we will, because we will we still have to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, and with all our might, even when we're in heaven. So yes, because we will have the opportunity to love, we will still have the ability to choose. And that's even what makes it even it's a risk, but then it's not a risk in that it's not an how can I put it? If we put it in this sense, after everything that has been ev that we've been evidenced that has been evidenced, it's not going to be a choice that we make blindly. It will be a choice to continue to love the Lord our God. It will come from a place where we know that deception and sin can only bring about the wrong. Can I, maybe if I put it this way, have you ever seen someone who decides to, okay, let's just say that they needed to change their eating habits, maybe because a disease has come in, or maybe because something has forced them to have to make a change in their diet. Now, I've seen a difference in those people who recognize the just how good the change in the diet is for themselves, and those who just change for the sake of others around them. Once they see that no one is looking at them, they then decide, oh no, maybe I can cheat a little bit. Maybe I can do this. Maybe I can do that. But for those who know exactly what good they are gaining from the change, they stick to it. And no matter what someone else brings along, or if someone even questions it, they'll say, no, I've seen I've seen the goodness of the change I have made, and I'm not turning back. And you can't move them. And this, I believe, is the mindset of those who will make it into heaven. It will be that, you know, I have seen the world, I have seen the things that that sin brought in, and I also know the goodness and the love of God, and I choose to do His will. And it is a delight, as the Psalms say to us, it is a delight to do the will of God, and that's for eternity. Now, do I know what that will be like on a day-to-day basis in heaven? I don't know. I won't even lie to you. But I know what it's like here on this earth. Even today, we can choose to say, you know, God, today I seek to follow you. And while we live in a world that is sinful, we can choose to follow God as far as we can. And He says that to him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the throne, He's actually, and present you with such joy to the throne of God. So it's something that God wants us to get to. It's a goal that He wants us to strive towards heaven, not by our own strength or by our own might, but by His Spirit and by His grace. We will make it there. And heaven and sin, so many times, the book of Revelation, the book of Jude, Jesus himself actually gives the promise of saying, sin will not rise up again. So don't fear for the kingdom of God, because that kingdom will be established forever and ever, without war, without strife, and without death.
Why can't we, you know, I mean, we've made a choice to be on God's side. And I think once we've made that choice and we're really on God's side and the new heaven, the new earth comes, would have already made the choice. I mean, this thing of opening up this power of choice, it's problematic for me because, you know, one may choose otherwise and the next thing we're back to square one. I mean, would have made a choice, you know, by virtue of making it to heaven means that one has made a choice. So why open up for a change? Because you see, if you give a person a power of choice, they can change their mind and you cannot blame them for that.
No, you wouldn't be able to blame them for that. But then, and I understand that, yes, choice would be something that, like, I can see why it would bother our minds to say, but what if someone does make the choice? Is that risk going to happen again? I'd like us to actually get to the place of actually looking at the taking the word of God as it says. Yes, the idea of choice. Let's put it this way. Let's say there was no ability to choose. Let's just say that for the goodness of heaven and everything, there would be no ability to choose. This is something that if God was able to do that, then He should have done that already. I mean, if God wanted to do that, He would have done that already. But then there's one thing that God does not violate, and that is the thought of free will. Because, again, this is something that God chooses again to leave us with the power of choice. Will we be in a place where in heaven we say, you know, we've gone through everything that has been gone through. We see the scars in Christ's hands. We see the scar, the scars on that he has chosen to keep, actually. And I'd like to paint that picture in our minds, that having gone through everything we've gone through here on this earth, having seen sin and suffering, and recognizing that it is sin that have brought about these problems, yes, we will still have choice, but we won't choose the wrong. Not because of our own strength, again, because we have been saved by the Lamb, and the Lamb of God, who has actually saved us from sin, we will not want to go back a second time. We would not want to go through all of this again, and heaven does not want to go through all of this as well. So, you know what, I wish I could give you an easy answer and say that, yes, how I know that, you know, sin will never come again because the memories of people would be erased. That's not true. The Bible lets us know that we will still have choice, and that we will choose to still be happy. We will still choose to love God. And if we're going to love God, we're going to have to be able to choose. Without choice, there is no love. And God, when we actually get there, thank goodness by his grace, sin will not rise again. No more sin, no more death, no more suffering. And so, yes, eternity is a long time.
It's a very long time.
It's a very long time. And I know that probably in someone's mind, it's like, are we sure that throughout all those ages, there won't be any sin? And we are assured that sin will not rise up a second time. So I know that we're not there yet. We're not in heaven yet. We're not even in the new earth yet. But when that time comes, the one who got us there will be the same one who will keep us. So it's all through Christ that we'll actually be saved and still stay saved, even in the new earth and throughout eternity.
Well, we have got that blessed hope. We've got that blessed hope. My elder, I do want to thank you so much for coming through here on Maranatha Drive.
Thank you so much. You have a blessed day.
Blessings to you. Thanks.
You are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.